Isaiah chapter 9. Book of Isaiah chapter 9. Verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom. The first part of verse 6 I'm thinking of. The first part of verse 6 I'm thinking of. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Now let's look over, please, to Matthew 27. Gospel of Matthew 27 and verse 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned, and that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, and departed, and went and hanged himself. Look down, please, to verse 15. Now at that feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate saith unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you? Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just person, just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person, see ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall, and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him, put on him a scarlet robe, and when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him, and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him, took a reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him, put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. When they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is a place, to say a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. When he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments and casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there and set over his head his accusation written, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then were two thieves crucified with him, the one on the right hand and the other on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking him, for the scribes and elders said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him come down from the cross. We will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, This man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, Let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus said, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Then behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. The earth did quake and the rocks rent. The graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and they came out of the graves after his resurrection, went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly, this was the Son of God. I've read a lot tonight, but as we said, a night's gone by, anything I can say about it can't compare with the word itself. In the first portion we have, Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And I'm sure most in our meeting tonight would know that the child that was born was the one that was born in Bethlehem. And that child that was born unto Mary was the Son of God. Unto us a son is given. And the question might well be asked, why was he given? And if somebody in our meeting tonight could find out why he was given, and if they could understand it was for me that he was given, they could go away from this number tonight saved by the sovereign grace of God. And I'll tell you something. This would be a red letter day in your life if you could go from this meeting and know for sure that you'll never be in hell. Thousands of souls are going into eternity every day. The majority of them without Christ. And the trouble is going down to death and hell. But my friend, in the meeting tonight, you're very, very privileged to be in a place where the gospel is opened from the scriptures and read to you, and you're able to hear the message of the cross. How that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Unto us a child is born. That wasn't his beginning. He never had a beginning, because he's God himself. When Abraham told his son Isaac, he answered the question Isaac asked was, Where is the lamb for burnt offering? And Abraham said, God will provide himself. And he could have stopped right there. But he went on to say, the lamb. God provided that lamb for sinners slain. And when he was doing that, he was providing himself in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's God the Father, there's the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three persons in the Godhead. And each one of them are interested in your salvation. And each one of them are involved in your salvation. For it was God that gave the Son. And it was the Son that came. And the Holy Spirit of God is now in the world for the express purpose of showing to mankind that he's a sinner in the sight of God. And then leading away to Calvary's cross to see that another took my place and bore my judgment in his own body in the tree. What a unique Trinity this is. And God has given the Son. And the child was born nearly 2,000 years ago. But I want you to think tonight of this other portion that we've read. We have different people that came in contact with that same person. When they brought him to Pilate's judgment hall, we have different persons brought before him. And I'm wondering if there's somebody in the meeting tonight and you're like one of them. Sad to say, There was only one that I can think of in this portion that could really, you could say, really got saved. And that was in centurion. When he saw these things that happened, he looked on and he exclaimed as if he had never seen it before. Truly, this was the Son of God. But I want to think first of all of Judas. And Judas, he tabernacled with him. He had gone along with the Lord Jesus Christ. He had been up and down the land with him. He had seen the miracles done. He knew that he was the Son of God. He knew that this was the Lord Jesus Christ. He had seen the miracles. He had seen the people raised from dead. And now he comes to this place. And he has a choice to make. Each one of them had a choice. And what's the choice that this man Judas makes? 30 pieces of silver is what he wants. And so he says to the people, I'll give you him for 30 pieces of silver. And he sold the Lord Jesus Christ. I think likely that he thought that he could do it. He could have the money in his pocket and he would still get away from the people as he had done before. He had seen how he got out of the reach before. And likely he was thinking, I can have my money. I can have my choice. And still the Savior will get away. But oh my man, I think I see him when it comes to this point, when he saw that he was condemned, when he saw the people coming and taking him to Pilate's judgment hall, and they're surrounding him, and they're chanting, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Why, dear friend, he gathers himself together, and he begins to realize he's not vanishing out of the way like he's done before. No, he has come to the place now where he has started for when he left the glory above. He has come to the place where it's almost Calvary. He has gone through Gethsemane's garden. And he has spattered the word, great drops of blood, the agony of his soul in that dreadful place. But now he has come to Pilate's judgment hall. And when Judas could see, he's not getting away as he has done in times gone by. Maybe there's somebody in him he didn't like, and you think to yourself, I can make a choice a little later on. But right now, there's something else that I want instead. My dear friend, you're trifling with your soul that no grave digger will ever cover. It's heaven or hell for eternity. I know this is not the kind of preaching that people like. They say speech onto a smooth thing, but we have a time for that. There's too many of that in the world today. You get a soul in that body, dear friend, that I see again no grave digger will cover. And it's either heaven above with the redeemed forever because of the death of the Christ of God, or else to be in hell fire forever. I wonder if there's a soul here tonight. And you begin to think about these most important questions. And friend, you've been wondering in your soul, what should I do? But down deep in your soul, there's something up there instead. Something else. My friend, I want to tell you, can't play tricks on the living God, and he will not. I say he will not give his son to somebody that doesn't appreciate him, or that there's something else in the way. This man wanted money. He wanted a part of the world. A preacher was having meetings in the States. Stuart Haplum, that great singer, who has thrilled many a person with his song, he was stirred in the meeting, and he went to see the preacher afterward in the hotel room, and some of the other men were with him that was preaching with him. And he went in, and he sat down with the preacher, and he said, I would like to be saved. Said the preacher, how much do you want to be saved? Well, sir, and he says, I want to ask you a question. If I got saved tonight, would I have to give up my string of race horses? The preacher just turned away. And he said to the other men that were with him, this man doesn't want salvation. And he went back into his room and closed the door. And Stuart Hamblin went back to his home again. But my friend, thank God, the Spirit of God wouldn't let him go. And what he... In the early hours of the morning, he's back knocking the door again. And he says, sir, I don't care about these horses. I don't care about anything. I want my soul saved. If there's a person in the meeting tonight in that condition, I want to tell you, there's a Savior waiting more anxious to save you than you are to be saved. But he will not save you. If there's something else in your way, hindering you from salvation, and poor Judas, what a choice was his. And when he comes in and he finds out what he has done, he brings the money. He throws it down in the temple and he goes out and he hanged himself. No wonder. The Bible says he went to his own place. Poor Judas tonight is in hell. He's there because of his choice. He could have been in heaven. I say again tonight, he could have been in heaven. There was no reason he couldn't be there. But when my friend God knew that he would not take the message in, God used him in another way and allowed him to be the one to kiss the Savior's sinners, to bring him before the people. But I say again, according to that word there on the wall, whosoever, he could have been saved. And I want to say tonight, there's someone I need tonight, and you're near the door. You would like to be saved. I know you would like to be saved, and you're reading your Bible. Thank God for it. But I want to tell you, you have to get down to business, and everything else will take second place. God will not. I say it, my friend, and love to your soul. Play second fiddle. The next man I'm thinking of, as we read down this chapter here, the next person we're looking at here is Barabbas. Now the Lord Jesus Christ had been before Pilate, and I think I see Pilate with his busy brain. He was no fool, and he wanted to put the question off somewhere else. He had a choice to make. What's the choice he's going to make? And my friend, he has to make a choice to this very night. He's brought face to face with a Savior of sinners. And I believe there's maybe some that have come to these meetings and brought face to face with a Savior. There's some that has met him. Thank God. 4 weeks ago, in their sins. A few nights ago, they've met with a Savior of sinners and got this most important question settled. The matter of their soul salvation. But here's a man and he's trying to avoid it. Trying to avoid it. And there may be somebody in the meeting tonight, and that's your way. You're trying to avoid it. You say, not just yet. I know I would like to be saved and I know I should be saved, but not just tonight. But there's people as well in the meeting. That's what they said 20 years ago. That's what they said 30 years ago. Tonight they're still not saved. It'll be a miracle of the grace of God of the ever given. You can't play fast and loose with the living God. But I want to say even yet, God can save even the hardest, the stoniest, and break them down under His gospel. And I'm hoping that maybe somebody tonight, if not already, will have heard the voice of the Savior of sinners and will trust that one and go on the way rejoicing. This man, Pilate, is trying to evade it. And he sends the Lord Jesus away to heaven. And I think I see that crowd go away. And as he sees the tail end of them going, and the Lord Jesus in the middle, I think I can hear him say a sigh of relief and say, well, I'm rid of him now. He's gone. And I won't have to make a choice. But he's not gone very long until he's back again. He has to make this choice. And I'm going to say tonight, friends, you're going to have to make a choice one way or the other. And it may be tonight. You're going to have to make a choice because the Spirit of God has been dealing with someone on either and brought you to the realization, I've got to get this matter settled. And now you've come to the place where you need this great matter settled in your soul. And you've got to make this choice. But you try to evade it. And you've been doing a good job of it. But oh, then the time is running out. The harvest is passing, and the summer will end. And then what? And so this man's trying to avoid it. He sends him away, but now he's back again. I think I see his very soul as it droops in his very being when he sees his bunch of people coming back, and again they're crying, crucify him, crucify him. Can't you imagine? Can't you see them? Aye, you see them in the world today when a lot of people got together and they're defying the government or defying something, and their hands straight in the air, thousands of them, and they're chanting. And a Savior of sinners, here he is in the judgment hall, and they're chanting, crucify him, the very man from glory, the one that came from the heights above, the one that stretched the sky above us. But all those stars in the garden, the one that 6,000 years ago put the sun in the sky, and of this last 6,000 years almost, we have been going around that sun, and never getting too close to burn us to crisp, or not getting up too far away where we'll freeze to death. His orbit, and he keeps it all in control. This is the one that was standing before Pilate. There was a day came in the history of God's eternity when, after he had made the sun, the moon, and the stars, and all that, the planets, when he took a little bit of dust of the ground, and he formed the man, and he breathed into that man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now he's standing in front of that crowd, standing in front of those men that he had made from his own fingers. And my men, they take that crown of thorns, and they weave them into a crown, that crown of thorns. I was telling the boys and girls this morning, I saw one of those thorns in Ireland when I was over there. Somebody brought it from Jerusalem. And it was that long, just the one thorn. But they wreathed the crown of thorns, and they placed them on his blessed head. And then with a man with a reed, he drove them in. Before, there we see the Savior of sinners as he's standing before that rabble crowd, and he says nothing. In Isaiah 53, it tells us, he was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his ears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Why didn't he open his mouth? Why didn't he open his mouth? Because he was standing there in my place. And I'm guilty. And I have nothing to say, my mouth was closed. To my God, I deserve eternal death. But he's standing in my shoes, don't you see? And because he's taken my place, he can't say anything either. He said nothing. Thank God tonight for a Savior that was willing to take my place. Like the man that came one night to the door of his brother's home. They were twin brothers, and he rapped the door anxiously. The saved brother went to the door, and there's his brother, the unsaved brother, standing at the door, and the blood stains all over his clothes. And he rushed in and he grabbed his brother. He says, oh, hide me, the law's after me. I've killed a man. The Christian brother, he wondered what he's going to do. Last he says, take those clothes off. And he took the clothes off. And then he gave him another suit of his own. And then he put him into a closet. It wasn't very long until there was a knock on the door. He went to the door, and there was the authority standing. He asked him what his name was. He wouldn't answer. But somebody said, why ask him any more questions? Look at the very stains on his clothes. He'd put his brother's clothes on. He says, look at the stains on his clothes. What more do you want? And they took him away. The trial was set. And every time they asked him anything in the trial, he said nothing. How could he? If he's going to take the guilty man's place, he can't say anything. He could have said, no, I didn't do it. So could the Lord Jesus. But see, if he's going to take the guilty man's place, he can't do that. He can't see anything. Finally, circumstantial evidence, they pronounced him guilty. A certain day he should be taken out and hanged by the neck until he was dead. Before he was taken out, he wrote a note to his brother. He handed it to the jailer. He said, I want you to give him the sealed envelope after the execution. When the execution had taken place, the jailer handed the note to his brother. And the brother began to read. Today I've taken your place. You were the guilty, but I'm taking your place instead and bearing your judgment. For so many years ago, I found out the Lord Jesus took my place at Calvary and bore my sins, and you can have the same Savior if you'll only trust him. It broke the brother's heart. He went to the officers of the law. He says, you've hanged the wrong man. He says, I'm the guilty person. That was my twin brother you hanged. I'm the one that committed the murder. And here I am, I'm giving myself up. What do you think they said to him? Did they take him out and hang him? Of course not. Why not? Because the sin has been punished in an innocent man. He goes free. Why is it I'll never be in hell? Not because I don't deserve it. It's all I ever did deserve. It's all I deserve tonight. And it's all I deserve 10 million years from now. But I'll never be there. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to take my place, bear my judgment in his own body on the tree. And friend, I want to bring this one before you tonight. You have a choice to make. You can accept him or you can reject him. Which is it going to be? Pilate, what's his choice? He's brought Barabbas in. I think I see his busy brain is working. If I can get them to take this Barabbas, because I can release somebody today, this time of the year, and if I can get them to take him, then I'll get free of sentencing this one that's not guilty. And he'd get rid of the question. Is there somebody in the meeting tonight and you're trying to maneuver, or trying to wangle, or trying to in some way, shape, or form, try to get out of the decision, try to get out of the choice you must make? Well, my friend, here's a man and he's trying his best, but he's up against it, and he has a choice to make. Finally, he brings in Barabbas. Now he says, who is it going to be? Can you imagine how his very soul would slump when he hears them say, crucify Jesus, but allow us to have Barabbas instead? He's at his wit's end. He doesn't know what to do. And even his wife comes in and says, have nothing to do with him. Is there somebody in me tonight? There's some friend who said to you, not yet. You're too young. Wait until you're older. A friend. A wife. A husband. A father or a mother. Oh, my friend, there's somebody trying to turn you away from this great choice that you must make. Nothing, absolutely nothing, should stand in your way. Finally, I see Barabbas. He doesn't know which way to turn. He's got to make a choice. There's no way out. Finally, he goes over to the basin and he begins to wash his hands. And he begins to rinse them off. And he says, I'll have nothing to do with it. Reminds me of when I was living out in Abbotsford. The next door neighbor was telling my wife one day when they were having tea together, my husband can't sleep. She says, he's up wringing his hands every night. My wife says, why? He was in the last war. And it was his job to pick up the dead bodies. And he says, some of them had been lying there for days in the heat. And he said, the smell was terrific. And he says, he still smells under his hands. He can't get rid of it. And he washes his hands night and day. And he's trying to get rid of it. Oh, my then, here's a man in hell fire tonight. And he's wringing his hands. And he's trying to get rid of the blood of the Savior sinners, but he can't. Made the wrong choice. Friend in the meeting, would you stop and consider you've got a soul, and that soul must live eternally, or should I say exists, either in heaven or in hell. And it all depends what you do with God's Son that He gave. It all depends what you do with the man of Calvary, the one that died between the two thieves. And if you tonight would take in this message that Christ has taken the place of the sinner, Christ died for the ungodly. There's so many scriptures you could take, and you could get saved right tonight. And if I was in your shoes, not saved, I wouldn't want to leave the building until I washed. Now you think that over. Because time is short. Eternity is nigh. The coming of the Lord is at our very door. But if you tonight would just enter in through the door, say, somebody, how can I do it? Just to see that I'm a sinner, but Christ has taken my place. The woman that committed murder, her sister, a Christian, went to the governor of the state, and after much persuasion, she got got the opportunity to take the place of her sister. The day of execution came. She was taken to the electric chair, strapped in it. The plate was put on her head, and the man went over and tripped the switch. There was a creaking of the straps. Finally, she vouched into eternity. 3 days later, the people came from all over to see the sight. They watched. They went in by the bier, in by the coffin. Thousands of them passed by. They'd never seen anything like this before, that a sister would take her sister's place. And some of them would say, what a pity. Some would say, what a shame. Till at last they'd all gone by. When everyone else had passed through and there was nobody else there, a woman with red eyes could weep no more. She came to that coffin. She bent down. And she said, sister, why did you do it? It was all for me. My friend, there was a time 54 years ago, as a little lad of 9, I saw I was on the road to hell. Deserved to be there. But the Spirit of God opened my eyes to see that Jesus on the cross took my place, bore my judgment in His own body in the tree. You talk about believing, I couldn't help it. I just took Him right there at His word. If He had taken my place, bore my judgment, if you tonight, this last night of this series of meetings, if you could understand that God wants to save you from the depths of hell, the only way He can do it is if you take His Son instead. And He has taken the punishment that you and I deserve. Rest on it, and He'll take you to heaven. Shall we pray? Our God, our Father in heaven, in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we would humbly bow in Thy holy presence. We thank Thee for the gospel of Thy grace. We thank Thee for everyone that has taken in this message already. We thank Thee for all those in our meeting that are saved and on the road to heaven. But, oh God, we think of those who are still in nature's darkness, the wrath of God abiding upon them, and an awful hell beneath their feet. Would it please Thee, oh God, would it please Thee, to stop them in their mad and wild career, and even this very night, that they'll trust the Savior of sinners and go on their way rejoicing. We ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, just before the baptism, I've been asked to read a few scriptures in connection with baptism, so we'll turn to Matthew 28. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, verse 19, Matthew 28, and 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So there's the commission that God has given, or the Lord Jesus gave before he went back to heaven. He's told his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's the commission. And not only that, to teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, he says. And lo, I'm with you always. He's backing it up, even unto the end of the age. That's when it will finish. Now turn over to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Now there's the mode of baptism. That is, buried with him. That's the reason why we're not going to sprinkle this person tonight. It's because the scripture plainly declares that to be buried with him in baptism. And all it is going through in figure what Christ went through in reality. And you see, if, for instance, sprinkling was the way of baptism, then we would be saying, Christ really wasn't dead at all. He was just sprinkled with us. He really wasn't buried at all, just sprinkled with buried. But you see, he said, and he's made it very plain and clear, and that's how you can get saved tonight. Christ really died. And he was buried. And he rose again. And the person that goes through the waters of baptism is going into the symbol of death. He's been buried out of sight, then raised again to walk in newness of life. You see, God has seen that happen as soon as the person got saved. He sees the person dead, buried, and risen in Christ. But now this is an open profession to those that haven't seen it. And so this is what he's professing tonight, that he has died with Christ. He's going to be buried and raised again to walk in newness of life. One more scripture, please, in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven, and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject to him. See, sometimes people have the idea that when a person gets baptized, that's to wash away their sins. But it says here very plainly, it's not for the washing away of the filth of the flesh. But what it really is an answer of a good conscience toward God. And so that's what our brother is professing tonight as he goes into the waters of baptism. He's professing that he has been saved by God's sovereign grace. You know it's a miracle when anybody gets saved. It really is. And the more I look at it, the fact that God ever looked down on me, and when I was over in Bangladesh and saw 90 million people, I didn't see them all, but I mean 90 million people in an area the size of the Maritime Provinces. There's only about that many in the United States. And there's that many in the area the size of the Maritime Provinces. They're falling down 5 times a day and worshiping and crying to their Mecca for food to eat. And here's men and women that meet tonight. You've heard of the God of heaven that's still alive and will always. And he's wanting to save. And if you were to trust his son tonight, you could get saved by the sovereign grace of God and go on your way rejoicing. Now we'll sing a hymn together while they're getting ready for the baptism. 134. 134. They nailed my Lord upon the tree and left him dying there. Through love he suffered there for me. 'Twas love beyond compare. Sing the whole hymn, 134.